Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show is brought to you by Dr. Yolanda Raglan and our great friends over at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution Beard Care. Go to RuggedEVO.com for more details. StimulatingRoots.com, that's R-U-T-Z, StimulatingRoots.com is an amazing hair growth system. Smooth Black Ink, a.k.a. superstar stylist Mr. Troy Ballard. The new book release, Prestige, all about professionalism and the barbering industry. And of course, all of us at Carapi, Hair Nation Expo, Road to Healthy Hair Workshop, our live hair events, and so much more.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Hair radio.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Come save me from all this cold
How did that happen, or how did it come about, and did that change along the way?
Well, hanging around him, you have to become a fan. He teaches you what real music is.
Yes.
I had knew his popular things, Little Red Corvette, Kiss. I remember watching Kiss on a video, just watching it, and I was
you
just
knew
staring.
The 80s.
Friend. Yes. So yeah. I knew of him, but I, like I said, never thought that I would wind up working with him. I wasn't a fan, and so I think that's another reason what kept me around so long, because I wasn't so geeked out and tripping off of him when I got around him. It was a job for me to do. I showed up, like one of the fans said on my page yesterday, I would have just kissed him, you know, and I said, and you would have just been fired. So, you know what I mean? So I didn't fan out over him. I wasn't geeked out. I showed up every day. I did what I was supposed to do. I tell people all throughout the book that I served him as if he was God himself, you know, because everything that I do, my mother had already instilled in me, you do it with excellence, you know, and whether it be the trash man or the biggest man on the totem pole, you serve everybody with respect, and you do it with excellence. And so it was nothing for me to show up every day. Like it was a blur. It went by in a blur, because it was just what I did every day. I served this man. I was with him sometimes 6 months out of the year, gone away from my family. I miss holidays. I miss, you know, big things. Even, you know, I was telling some people, my daughter's first steps, once my daughter was born, I missed my daughter's first steps being on the road with Prince. I came home off the road. My mother said, I have a surprise for you. And my daughter came walking across the floor. I was like, no, like I missed my daughter's first steps. You know, so you miss some big things in life at home. But, you know, family was able to enjoy some beautiful things. They were able to travel the world with me sometime, my mom and my daughter. And you know, but they had some beautiful Christmas and holidays because of Prince, you know. So, I said, so it was awesome. The exchange was well worth it, you know, the exchange. So a lot of my friends were like, oh, if I were you, I wouldn't take, because Prince talked crazy to you and expect you to be there in the morning. I wouldn't take this off of him. And, you know, I wouldn't let him say that to me. I said, okay, let me see now. You at home on your mama's couch, and I'm in Switzerland in one of the most beautiful hotels in the world. So don't tell me what you won't take off somebody, because I said, you'll do what you got to do to get the job done. So all those stories will be. So right now, Volume 1 is out now, and I'm actually going to re-release Volume 1 April 22nd of next year. I'm looking forward to adding some new stories to the book, what I'm doing is 10-year chronicles at a time. So I'm doing, you know, Volume 2 and Volume 3. So the fans have looking forward. So they're already chomping at the bit and asking, when's the next book coming out? Because I ended every book on a cliffhanger. So each one will end. So, you know, back in the day when we had Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boy Mysteries,
the
book will be like that. And so each book will end on a cliffhanger leading you to the next book. And
I love
so
it.
It's instead of doing, you know, this big, thick Bible-type book, it's like putting 30 years in one book. I didn't want to do that to the fans. I didn't want to bore them. So there's pictures in the book, behind-the-scenes pictures. There's, like I said, stories. There's also, they always ask me, like, well, what products did you use on Prince's hair? And what what type of makeup did he use, and what type of soap? So I have what's called the endorphin. What Prince had a song called the Endorphin Machine. And so in each part of the book, there's a small section, and there's cartoons that are drawn by Mr. Gary, and then there's another brother who's an artist. His name is, oh my God, just because I'm trying to tell you, oh, his name escapes me. Anyway, there's an artist who illustrated the book, and that I'm going to tell you his name in just a few minutes.
It'll come to you, but that will
yeah,
come
Moiselle.
Back to
the
it.
The brother's name is Moiselle. His name is Moiselle.
Oh, Moiselle.
So,
okay.
Yes, he did these beautiful illustrations in the book. So the book is beautifully designed. And so we have the artist pictures by Moiselle. Then there's the cartoon characters that of my hairstyles all over the world. So Gary lent his expertise to the book as well. So both of those brothers, I appreciate them so much. In each part of the book, the endorphin pages are different anecdotes of you know, things that I've shared with Prince, different hair products that I've used on him. And speaking of hair products, before Prince passed away, we were coming up with a product line, which I'm definitely going to produce. I'm bringing it to manifestation. It'll be coming out real soon. So we have a hair product line that's inspired by Prince. The fans are going to love it. It's going to be beautiful. The packaging is amazing, and I can't wait to get it to the masses. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I can't wait because you're going to come right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show and tell everybody all about it. We're so happy for you. Well, listen,
thank you,
Kim,
so much.
I want to, absolutely. Well, I also want to find out, you know, some of the actual stylings and things like that. Now, did you go with him, like, during concerts and literally work at the concerts, or were you mainly just at the house on that before he left the house, or how did all that work?
Well, when I first started, it was the early, you know, when I graduated after high school and then beauty school, I only did stuff when he came to L.A. But as things progressed, I literally became his everyday stylist. So I traveled like I was his right hand. Like Prince didn't go anywhere without his hairstylist and his bodyguard, like I said before. So I was everywhere with him, every concert. Like people ask me to this day, were you there at this party? I was at every after party. I was at every concert. I was at every. So for 29 years, if you could imagine, literally all over the world, wherever Prince was, Kim was somewhere in the background.
Wow. Now, we're just trying to wrap our brain around that, because you're talking about being a young person and literally seeing the world. Now, what about some of the other celebrities? Did you was Prince your only client during that period, or did you also do some other hair?
No, thank God. Over the years, I was able to work on, when I would come back to Los Angeles, I had the opportunity. I was good friends with Cat Williams' manager. Cat Williams has been a client of mine for the last 10 years. I just did a movie with him called 2 Minutes of Fame. It was the most hilarious event of my life. There were so many comedians: Sinbad, George Wallace, Lunell, Red Grant,
wow,
Jay Farrow, you name it. They were on set. We laughed all week. It was the most hilarious thing that I have ever done. Meet the Blacks, you know, did hair with Kat. Every one of his comedy shows that you've seen in the last 10 years, that's all Kim Berry's hairstyles on Cat Williams. DJ Quick is a client of mine. Wendy Raquel Robinson, Loretta Devine, Tamara Mari. God has just really been in the blessing business. I have been able to touch some of the most beautiful celebrities, and it's been a great journey. It's just been amazing, and I'm looking forward to what God is you know, going to do next. So still working on photo shoots and videos to this day. So I'm still rolling in the industry. People are like, well, what are you going to do now? Like I was just going to crawl in a hole and die. No, when I met Prince, I was doing hair. When I die, I'm going to be doing hair. So I'm still rolling. I'm like, I tell people, don't, you ain't seen the end of me yet. So don't count me out. God ain't finished with me yet. So I'm looking forward to what God is about to do. So like I said, I have the product line coming out, the hair extension line that's going to be coming out. I'm up to some big things. God is doing it, and I'm excited about what he's about to do.
Well, I see that you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, so we know that you're on to big things, and we love it. What I cannot wait to get into, and this is a great time to talk about this, we're excited. We're excited to have you because we're going to be exploring having you to come back and give us a full series on this amazing life. And I want to say it's based on Diamonds and Curls, which is your amazing book. Again, Curls is spelled with a Z. So when you Google it out there, and Kim Berry is an amazing author out there with this telling and retelling of the stories of her life with Prince for 29 years. That's a long time. So, yes. You talked about some of the different changes along the way, not so much changes, but some of the different experiences along the way that you had an opportunity to have a front row seat, literally, could have been a concert seat, but literally a front row seat to this man's extraordinary life. Was there any part of it that really kind of that you were kind of surprised? You didn't expect Mr. Prince to be that way, you know? So some kind of, you might have gone and thinking he was one way, and then come to find out he was totally different, and maybe in a pleasant way. So anything you want to kind of share with us about any kind of thing like that?
Well, like I said, he was a practical joker.
Really?
He played jokes on people all the time. if you go back to the Morris Day times, they literally kidnapped some of the band members and came out on the stage and played for Morris. Like, if you read, I tell everybody, if you read everybody's stories, if you lined all our books up, you know, you'll find out who the man Prince really was. Because one thing about it, he was consistent. He had his, I call it, you know, asshole moments. He was mean to you. He had his moments where he was loving. He had his moments where he was hilarious. He had his moments where, you know, it was just an awesome experience all the way around.
He felt like he was an all-around person to me. That's
he really was.
Thing.
And most people. Absolutely. Most people, you know, they want to make it like, oh, he floated on a cloud and, you know, he pooted purple dust. No, he was a human being. He was a man. That's what I'm telling about in my book, is the humanity side of Prince, that he was a man, that he laughed, that he cried, that he desired certain things, that he longed for certain things, that he, you know, just like all of us, he put his pants on one leg at a time. And so people want to be like, oh, he's this mystic god. No, he was a human being. And he hurt, he laughed, he cried, he was human. And that's what I love about it. I'm trying to think of one moment the Dave Chappelle moment, when Dave Chappelle talked about the shirts and the blouses. That story was absolutely true. Now, mind you, we were all sitting in the kitchen in Paisley Park, and so they had just got through, you know, having a recording session in the studio, so the band members, everybody in there, that was our normal thing, everybody hanging out in the kitchen, laughing and talking and eating lunch. And so then on comes the Dave Chappelle show. And so they do the shirts and the blouses. Now, mind you, everybody in the room is cracking up laughing. And so they're laughing because Prince is the butt of the joke. And so this is a true story that really happened. Charlie Murphy and all the crew came and played basketball against Prince. Inside Paisley Park, there's a full basketball court. Most people don't know that Prince was a basketball superstar in high school.
Wow.
And literally would go out and ball you crazy in his 6-inch heels. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Like, the boy did not play. He could play some basketball. So anybody that came in Paisley Park was getting challenged to basketball, ping pong, whatever he could whoop you at, you was going to get challenged at it. And so he had a full ping pong table set up in Paisley. It was awesome all the time. And so the show came on, and I was just cracking up laughing, and he's looking at me like, that's funny to you, Kim? I said, oh, let me straighten up. No, sir, that's not funny. I said, but come on now, you know that's funny. And we laughed at Prince so hard that day, but it was just so amazing because we all knew it was true, that it really did happen. And so so it was just awesome to just be around him, you know. And when he would laugh at you, if we was having a bag session and he'd be bagging on people's mamas, him and the guys in the band would be going back and forth. He would read jokes, like books on your mama jokes. So he would clown them. He was just hilarious. And so it was funny, especially if he bagged on you and it was funny, he was going to laugh from his gut, like he would scream. Like, it was just so funny. But when he was the butt of the joke, you know, he'd look at you sideways. That's funny to you, Kim? I'm like, oh, no, sir, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. He's like, I'm not laughing, Kim. And I was just like, yeah, you know this funny. I said, so he was just a real dude. And it was just amazing just to be around him, you know. And I just love it. I just love that I had the opportunity to walk alongside that man. It was so amazing.
Kim, I have to take you to this part. What do you miss most about Prince?
I really got to say his laugh. That voice, everybody was like, you know, did he talk really deep? No, well, yeah, he did. But he had the whisper, you know, especially if somebody was around that he didn't know who was in the room, he would come up behind me and whisper in my ear, who's that to your left? And who's that? I'd be like, okay, that's your lighting director. You don't know who that is. Like, it's so many people on tour, you don't know who it is. But, you know, I miss that laugh, the joy that he carried in his heart, always joking around, just being a all-around funny dude, that laugh. I think more than anything, I'm going to miss that laugh. And the funny faces that he would make, the smirks and the side eyes and the, you know, if somebody was in the room, oh, my God, like him and I would communicate literally by eyeballs. Like, do you see this fool? Like, do you see what's happening? Do you, you know, and it would be so funny, like the little things that we created over the years, you know. Him and Maite had a sign language, you know, that they would speak in. And it was just all kind of stuff that, you know, he created over the years. Everybody in the camp had their own little thing with him, you know, that everybody can speak on. So that's what was just amazing. Like I said, if you line all the books up, you'll literally learn the different parts of Prince and how amazing he was.
Well, we are talking about Diamonds and Curls with a Z. By the amazing celebrity superstar stylist, Miss Kim Berry, the 29-year, you know, hairstylist relationship with Prince, superstar Prince. This has been something that, to me, I think you've, to me, it's kind of unparalleled. I don't think I know of too many folks out there who've been with the celebrity that long. Now, maybe there's some, but very few stories. So what do your family members think now, and also your friends, and how did they react? Because sometimes friends can be a little jealous. Sometimes we're going to just put it on out there of the types of things that you were able to accomplish in your life. Did you ever experience that where some were a bit on the jealous side, or no?
Not really. All my friends were cool for the most part. Like
you
I
had
said,
real friends.
Yeah. You had some people, like I said, that would listen to my stories. I wasn't too many people I could talk to that was outside of the camp. So I kept it, you know, real close to the belt. But a few people that I did tell different stories of what I was going through or how I experienced life, you know, on the road and, you know, being with this man. You know, I had a few smart Alex, like I said, that would talk crazy and be like, I wouldn't take that off of him. I wouldn't let him say that to me. I'm like, don't tell me what you wouldn't say or what you wouldn't take. I said, because like I said, you at home sitting on your mama's couch and I'm literally sitting in, you know, we went in the ice hotel in Switzerland and we traveled on camels across the sands in Egypt and walked through pyramids. And, you know, I had an amazing life with this guy. And so, you know, it wasn't much that you could share. Like people didn't even know that it was even me until the camera showed up on my doorstep and interviewed me, you know, the night that Prince died and the day after Prince died and all these people. I was on 2020 and all these other, you know, fabulous television shows, and people are like, that was you all these years, you know, that was you. I was like, yeah, it was me, you know. And so we collaborated on hairstyles, like we collaborated, you know, with his music, and you know, so it wasn't many people that I could talk to. I had to keep it close to the belt. And the few people that did know it was me, one of my girlfriends, Shanice Wells, she would tell me all the time, she said, you so humble, you so down to earth, like people didn't know, like you would get off the plane coming from Milan, and then you'd be like, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a two-piece, because I was never geeked up, I was never haughty or high on myself. I knew what I did, I knew who I served, I knew who I walked alongside, but like I said, most people didn't know that they, like I would be in an elevator one day, it was Lala Anthony and, you know, a couple other, you know, high-end girls in the radio industry, and they were talking about, girl, Prince changed his hairstyles like I changed underwear, you know.
And they
I was
didn't
just
know
like,
you were
they
right
didn't even
there.
Know that Prince celebrity, Prince stylist was standing right next to him, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I kept it to myself, and I just rolled along because Prince was a private person, you know, and up until the time of his death, you know, many people didn't know much about him, you know. So I said, there's a lot of people, there's people writing books and stories, telling stories about him that didn't even know him. They're talking about the Prince that they think they know. So who better to tell the story than the person that walked alongside him directly, you know. And I got death threats when I decided to write the book, and people told me, you don't have any business telling his story, you know, sit down somewhere and be quiet. Why does the little black girl have to sit down somewhere and be quiet? Why can't she tell her story? But there are people out in the industry that's selling books that's telling their story that didn't know anything about Prince, or they're telling the theoretical part of Prince. But I can tell you directly how he loved and how he spoke and how he thought and how he walked, you know. So why don't I get to tell my story? So finally I stopped living in fear and decided to be the woman and be the person that Prince literally built me up to be. and taught me how to be, like I said, he and I grew up together and became different people because God placed us in each other's lives. So I tell people, they like, how did you think that you would been able to be there for so long? It was the God in me that saw the God in him, and he needed that around him. He needed somebody real that wasn't a yes man, that wasn't, you know, he used to call me, you know, his homegirl from the hood. So he used to ask me all the time, what was the pulse in the neighborhood? What were people thinking about his music? What did people think? So I literally had his ear. I literally was able to influence some of the things that Prince did in his music and throughout his career that people don't know about.
Are you saying Prince would ask you, like, you were kind of like your, you know, the ear to the ground or what did it call it? But you knew, you know, he would kind of let you kind of gauge what, or he would use you to gauge what the folks kind of might have thought of him.
So he would bring music into the studio. He would bring music into the studio, and he would play me some of the songs. And, you know, he knew if I stood kind of stoic and didn't move, he was like, you ain't feeling that. I was like, no. And so then he would play a certain song, and I'd be like, oh, okay, that's banging. Yeah, that's going to be a banger right there. So I remember one night we were in the hair salon, and we were doing his hair, and he said, Kim, I need your voice. And I said, what you mean? He was like, I said, I can't sing. He said, don't worry about it. I can make you sound anywhere I need you to sound. I was like, he said, I just need the voice. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So we go into the studio, and he told me what to say. And people don't know that I'm on one of the tracks, Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. And I was like, that song to this day is one of my favorite songs of Prince. Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. Get Freaky, Get Funky. I was like, "That's," and I'm on that track, and people don't even know. And it is so amazing, like,
we're going to play that. We got to get that song.
Absolutely. I love it. One of my other favorite songs of his is Face Down. When he brought the beat in the studio, he was like, Kim, what you think about this beat? And I was like, oh, my God, just dope. And he came in there one night. He was like, Kim, this is what we got to do. Go buy me some church hats. Go get me some boas. Go get this. So we got some of the wildest outfits. Me and his wardrobe person ran out to this costume store, brought back all this crazy stuff. So you'll see them in church hats. And so I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. So I worked doing whatever needed to be done in wardrobe. And if it was trash on the floor, he'd be like, Kim, pick it up. You know, come on now. You my girl. Just, let's have my back. So there was no, I served as a bodyguard sometimes. I served as you know, his personal go-to girl. So it was just amazing. You know, like people wound up after he passed, like how did I wind up with so many of his things? Because I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. I held the makeup. I held the clothing. I had his shoes. I had his socks. I had his handkerchiefs. So I had to be prepared for whatever he needed. I was the all-around go-to girl. I wasn't just his hairstylist. We left hairstylist-client relationship long after, way before. Yeah, and it's like I said, most people aren't with their lawyers and the doctors for more than 20-plus years, and I outlived everything that went through Prince's life, his relationships, his lawyers, his doctors, his everything. I saw him grow into the man that he became, and it was just a beautiful journey, and that's what you'll see throughout the book, Diamonds and Curls. I tell people Prince was the diamond and I was the curls of the book. And so my book is based on the different facets of a diamond, the cut, color, clarity, and the, you know, the characteristics of a diamond. So all those different chapters, the book is broke down into those chapters, and my stories fall in between all of those, the cut of a man, the color of a man, the clarity, and what made him up to be that person. And so that's how my book is based on the diamond, and just showing how, you know, Farrakhan gave a quote just saying how beautiful the colors that he gave off throughout his lifestyle and of the diamond. And so that's why I brought that into my book. And so I'm just excited about, like I said, to share my story of who
We're
this man
it.
Was and, yeah. And bring it to the nations of the humanity of
Absolutely.
Who he was. Not the celebrity. I'm talking about the man, Prince.
The real Prince. Now,
right.
I love what you just said also, that there were items and things that you kind of have. Is there one piece that you have that you can just tell us about, you know, just one piece
well,
that
I
you have still
have one
that
of the,
meant something?
The gold iconic Yes, the gold iconic outfit that he wore on stage. Whatever Prince had, he had many copies
many
of, because we would leave stuff behind in arenas. We would leave, so we always had to have many of the different outfits. But I have one up right now to this day that I know that I'll probably wind up keeping, is one of the gold outfits that traveled all over the world with him. And so when I go on my book tour, you know, coming up, that will be displayed every time I show up. So when you see Kim Berry, you'll see the gold iconic outfit that Prince wore on stage night after night.
Now, I wish
traveled,
I could fit into it, because
yeah,
I would certainly try.
He was a tiny
but I'd
man.
Pop it open
oh
all over the place, yeah.
Right. He was a tiny man, and people don't realize yeah. until they see his shoes or they see his clothes of how tiny he really was. He was a very small in stature man, but he was bigger than life, you know.
He towered in real
the,
life.
Yeah, right. I said the prince that sat in my hair salon chair was not the prince that you saw on stage. And the prince that you saw, he was humble, he was kind, he was quiet, but then he was loud and he was rambunctious, and you know, so he had so many different facets to him. That's why the diamond fits him perfectly, you know, when I mm-hmm. characterize him, that it was so much to him, but he was this beautiful star that God created. He used to tell me all the time that he was downloaded by God to bring music to the world, and that he knew that this gift was given to him, and I tell people that when he died, that when he got to the gates of heaven, that he'll be able to say, God, I left everything you gave me on the stage, you know, because he gave it to them night after night. And it was so beautiful to be able to see live music and see him perform. And like, he would go out for his encores. He would do 5 and 6 encores after a 2 and 3 hour show and give 10 people, whoever stayed behind, that them 10 people, he would give them a show like it was an arena filled with 70,000 people. Like, he was so dope like that. But it was the music, and whatever energy you gave him, he was going to give that energy back. And it was so amazing to be a part of that and see him rock so many. You know, I would stand on outside of the stage and just see him wave his hand and be like, put your hands up, you know. And one man could rock so many. It was just amazing night after night to be a part of that journey and meet so many different celebrities, Sheila E. and Patti LaBelle and Candy Dolfer and, you know, Chance Howard. And I mean, man, it was just so amazing. Mike Phillips, to see all these stars, he picked them out, handpicked each one of these celebrities, and they became Maceo Parker, Najee, just amazing. And I was able to hang around all these celebrities and be a part of their lives night after night. And it was just amazing. Like I said, that God chose me to be around all of these people. And it was just amazing that the family, you know, lifestyle that we built with these people year after year, different celebrities and different people that he built and created, and, you know, Carmen Electra, you know, that I was able to, you know, actually come in contact with and be a part of. All people like, did you do the women in his life's hair? Absolutely. Anybody that was hanging around Prince, Kim touched them. You know, Andy Allo, you know, that all these people are now celebrities in their own right.
That's right.
It was just amazing to be a part of their lives, and you know, now I can tell the stories. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was part of that, you know. And it was just amazing night after night, like I said, just to be a part of that.
Well, let me just say this, Kim. We are looking forward to all of the installments of this book, Diamonds
yes.
and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z.
Yes.
Your story. It's by Kim Berry. So you definitely want to check it out. Now, what are some of the best ways they can find this book? And, of course, we're gonna kind of get it right here through the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely.
But tell us some of the other ways they can get the book today.
Thank you. Yes, you can go to my website. It's www.diamonds, D-I-A-M-O-N-D-S, and the letter N, C-U-R-L-Z. So Diamonds in Curls. Is the website. So you can go to my website, and it'll take you straight to Amazon. You can get the book there. And if you hit me on there and send me an email, I can set it up where we can do a special signing. I can, you know, personally autograph the book for them. So, and then also, like I said, coming up, I'll be doing a book tour. So you can stay tuned on the sign up on the website, and I'll be coming to a city near you. So you guys look forward to that.
Well, we're
going to
bring you out to my expo. We have a huge expo in May. It's the world's first 8-day expo, period. And it's my very own, called HairNationExpo.biz. And we want you to come out here. So we're going to contact your folks and get you scheduled to come out here and do a huge, huge book signing and meet all the fans that you're making today right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely. I would love that.
The
and then also,
Kim
I'm on
Berry.
Instagram. Kim Berry on set, K-I-M Berry, B-E-R-R-Y on set, Kim Berry on set. So you can find that across all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Kim Berry on set, or hit up Diamonds and Curls. If you Google me, you'll find Kim Berry. So just look for me. And I, like I said, I'm excited to, you know, continue sharing my stories with the world. And I'm just looking forward to what God has for me next. The product line is coming out. The hair extension line is coming. So I'm excited, and I cannot wait to, you know, see the fans again. I hate that, you know, the world is in this episode, you know, right now, but I'm looking forward to seeing the world, and I'm looking forward to being back with people. I miss people. I love people. So I'm looking forward to being, you know, being seeing people again.
Well, listen, we've got you now on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and so you're going to be indoctrinated as a part of the Hair Radio Morning Show family. So we are excited. We're going to keep everybody informed about all of your comings and goings in the business. So we're just so grateful to have you this morning on our broadcast. Anything you want to leave us with today? Any last thoughts?
I just want to say don't take anything for granted. Live your life to the fullest. Don't be afraid to step out on faith. You know, like I said, I just, you know, happen to be in the right place at the right time. God said that your gifts will make room for you. I perfected my craft doing hair in beauty school, not knowing that one day I would meet, and my first time out the gate, one of the biggest artists in the world, you know, Prince, would be my client for 20-plus years, and it was just amazing. So I just tell people, you know, perfect your craft, do what it is, hang around people that are doing what it is that you want to do. Be the best at what you do, whatever it is, whether it be hair or makeup or you know, get yourself ready, get your website, create your, you know, digital footprint, get your website ready, get everything prepared to get you ready for the time that you never know when God is going to explode you. If you want to be a celebrity stylist, hang around other celebrity stylists. Make yourself an assistant. Be there. Be present in the moment and be in the where you need to be. Hang around and rub elbows with people of what you want to do. And just be a part. Show up. Whatever it is you got to do in life, show up. Be a part of it. Love God. Keep your prayer life active. And, you know, like I said, people can reach me at the website, www.diamondsandcurls.com, Kim Berry on set, on all the platforms. And I'm just loving life, and I'm just glad to be a part of what God is, you know, going to do through me, for me, around me. And I'm just appreciative of you having me on the show. I thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to big things.
Absolutely. And remember, today's guest, Kim Berry, you guys can also, in addition to those amazing places, our platform, which is the Salon TV Network, we have a wonderful app, which is available in the Google Play Store exclusively. And they can go right on and on the app, download it, it's free, and literally connect with our guests. And so it's all right there. So we're so excited. And that'll also put you in touch with the amazing Kim Berry. But in the meanwhile, we want you folks to get this book called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with a Z. Again, it's about her amazing Kim Berry story, I call it, in her life with Prince, the amazing superstar. We're going to have you back soon to break it all down. We're going to do a whole series on this amazing book. This was just a little introduction today on our broadcast. I just want to say thank you. You are just a joy. And so while it might seem that you were just doing so many amazing things and, you know, helping out a superstar client, it seems to me to have been kind of the other way around. I see how folks can gravitate towards you. You have something very special that you share with us today. And that's very, very clear. So thank you, Kim. Thank you for being with us, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go, so stay with us. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday morning, March 24th of 2021, and I'm bringing to the line a couple of folks who are going to help us to kind of hold it down this morning. I'm not sure if you guys can hear me. Harlem Will, are you there?
Harlem
Will,
Carrie,
are you there?
I can hear you, Carrie.
Okay,
yes, we are here.
As always on the Hair Radio Morning Show, you know we're live. And so this morning, okay, I see my system here is moving a little bit not as robust as I'd like it to be. Well, listen, I kind of want to jump right on in, guys. And again, good morning to you, officially. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. All right. Let's get some kind of some sounds going on here. So I want to check in with you, too. It is Wednesday morning. So, yes, and we're going to take it all the way to 9 o'clock this morning. So, for those of you, I promise we'll do something extra special either over the weekend. We'll do a special broadcast or we'll give you guys something a little bit extra within the next few days or so. But today, I do want to kind of welcome everybody again officially. And kind of, we're having just it's, of course, our Year of the Woman. We're going to continue to highlight the amazing accomplishments of women from literally all over the world. Today's no exception to that. But right now we're going to take a turn to some of our live mid-show talk that we typically do. And so I want to just kind of let you guys on. I also nickname it Hodgepodge Wednesday. So we have an opportunity to kind of talk about things that we see in the media, as well as hair and beauty. So we do have Miss Terry, who's on in Georgia, who's an actual stylist. And of course, you have myself, and I run my Carrie Hines hair care business right here from Brooklyn, New York. And Harlem Will is on, who is our new signed model for the Caribbean. And we're real excited about that. So good morning officially again, and welcome to the show. So Harlem Will, what's going on with you today?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Looking at a couple of stories that grabbed my eye. Sorry I couldn't be with the show yesterday. Y'all had a little bit of a frog in throat situation going on. I wanted to call in badly and, speak on the whole Florida thing. And I missed the CC. Oh, I forgot her name. The finally, it happened to be.
Cece Peniston.
I hate the song, but I loved it. Yes, yes. I've been listening to that song, watching that particular video for the last 2 years for some reason. I just had to watch it. It was like, I don't know why, but I need to watch this video. So,
well, we
but,
kicked off
Cece's. Yeah,
Cece was on. We actually had her interview play yesterday on the broadcast. And we kicked off the show with her song, Finally, as you just kind of gave us your rendition. It was really quite exciting. And she has, she was my very first true celebrity interview ever. And she's wonderful. And I shout out to Barbara and all of her folks out there. And she's out in Arizona. And just wonderful, wonderful folks. And very talented lady, still out there doing her thing, and very proud and all of that. So she was the first celebrity interview I've ever done, ever. Way back in the day, she came to my production studio in Newark, New Jersey, and she and her manager, and they were very kind. And she came back to the Hair Radio Show. At that time, I was producing a show called Center Stage, and she was kind enough to do that, and then she came back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. for this interview that you heard yesterday. So real good stuff. If you're listening or would like to play it back, you can. Of course, we have it. All of our shows, our three-hour shows, are on demand. And then separately, we have, of course, our on-demand streaming actual podcast. So we're real good about all that and getting that. In fact, I'm looking to start a new podcast show as well. So the thought is in the back of my mind. But I'll tell you more about that. So, Will, I think you were kind of kicking off with something that you came across yesterday.
Yes.
I think you started into that.
Yes, because this is something that's actually come up on my show, something that I've brought up on my show about relationships.
And for you guys, Will has the show as well. And what's the name of your show, Will?
The name of my show is called Kicking It with CC and Will. We air at 4 p.m. on Saturdays, every Saturday. And we talk about current events. We interview guests, musicians, mainly and mostly musicians and up-and-coming entrepreneurs. We like to get the community out there and, you know, talk about the current events that are happening.
Well,
in and
I'll
around
have to tune
budget.
In. It sounds awesome.
Yes,
I'll tune in. We support Black Radio here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, of course. Sounds awesome, just awesome. Miss Terry, what do you think?
Yes. Like I said, I'm just happy to be here with my two mentors here today with the Black Radio. So hopefully I'll get to see more in depth what you guys do and how you do it.
Well, you're a part of
the team.
We're not going to just have you as a fly on the wall. You are here for a reason, Miss Terry, and we appreciate your talent.
Yes.
And we're going to be sharing that with all of our fans out there around the world right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I do want to kind of kick on. Yeah, I want to kick off with a little bit about what's happening. Coming up in August of 2021. This August.
I was about to explain the topic, but go ahead.
Yeah, we always have to. I always give the year. If you've ever known, when I give a date, I always have to follow with the year. August 21st, 22nd, 23rd of 2021. We're happy to be bringing back. I'm literally bringing the road to healthy hair back, and we're talking from 7 years ago. Excuse me. So I'm really, really excited about it. It's where we feature legends who are sharing tips on hair. And I mean, it really was a series of workshops that we did in Brooklyn, New York. Well, now we're moving to the big stage at the beautiful Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the very first ever hair and beauty show on the boardwalk in the history of Atlantic City. And we're inside the show. Let me just make it clear, because folks before thought we were hanging out on a boardwalk. There will be a portion of presentations that are exterior, that are on the outside. However, as always, with our Hair Nation Expo events that we've had at the Showboat, we tend to have them on the inside, where we have 100,000 square feet of space. We have a 1,000-seat theater. And lots of wonderful things going on at the Showboat. So we're all happy. They've got beautiful rooms. And it's just an extraordinary staff. They are family to us here at the Hair Radio Show. They truly are. And we just love them very much and support them with all that they're doing. And they're doing a whole water park thing that they're putting together. And we'll keep you guys informed on that. And I just want to remind folks, if you are planning to come to the event, of course, we have special discount prices for the Showboat Hotel in terms of rooms, and we'll be getting all of that to you very, very shortly. In addition to the Delta Airlines folks, whom I've been first of all, Delta's been one of my sponsors for years, and we love them very, very much. You can fly into Philadelphia Airport on Delta. You can fly into Newark Airport and just easily, you know, take a bus down to Atlantic City. they have a special discount code that you can use and save money on your ticket. So you heard that, Miss Terry? You got to come up from Georgia.
Absolutely. I'm listening. I'm getting it all down.
Okay. And I have to say, Harlem Will, you are mm-hmm. right here in New York City with me. So you can also rent a car, budget, or a budget rent a car. They're also one of our sponsors.
Wow.
And drive down to Atlantic City. So we're real excited about that.
Oh, I'll definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, so these are some wonderful things, and we're shouting them out this morning. They're just wonderful. Whenever I deal with them, they're just, you know, a lot of folks don't know what we do behind the scenes. I think we're kind of chatting on that off air this morning. But it just, you know, when I talk to the folks, my normal days, what you don't see here is that I'm on after 9 o'clock with all of these amazing contacts. I'm talking to whether it's booking guests or speaking with our contacts at the Showboat Hotel or at Delta Airlines. I'm like, oh, how is so-and-so? And how is so-and-so? And she's, oh, yeah, well, she's been moved over here, and she's here, she's had kids, she's this, that. And this is, you know, behind the scenes. So we have a lot of wonderful people who help to bring us where we need to be. I have folks that we deal with in terms of manufacturing, assisting us with manufacturing the Caribbe products. Folks I work with, you know, just it's an amazing opportunity. I love working at Hair Radio. It's just been an amazing thing in terms of being an entrepreneur. I wouldn't trade it for all the, you know, whatever that saying is. I absolutely love it. It's been great. And I encourage folks to become entrepreneurs. I think that we don't talk enough about that in the, I'm going to just go ahead and say in the black households, as far as I'm concerned. I think that we need to really, the same way that we encourage folks to do other things and to go get a job, you know how when you turn 18, you got to go get a job in a black household pretty much. I think it would be great to, as my mom did, she did not consciously say, Carrie, be an entrepreneur. Let me get it right. And by the way, I'll likely dedicate tomorrow's show to my dear mama. Well, her birthday would be tomorrow had she lived. But anyway, the thing that really gets me is that she didn't just say, go and become an entrepreneur. But what she did, this is very important, and it's my first time really talking about it on the show, but she literally told me all about my grandfather for years and years as a little kid. And she told me how he would, he had many different businesses back in those days. Now, my grandfather was born like in 1899 or something, like really in the late 1890s, that's when he was born. And he was much older than my grandmother. But my mother used to tell me that he owned, that they had like a little candy store, and he would, back in those days, a lot of the men from the South, men of color from the South, who we're talking about after slavery, were like blacksmiths, and they did all these things with shoes and all of that, and he always worked for himself, literally. And so these were the stories that I heard. And believe it or not, they were sowing a seed and encouraged me as I moved along the way. I'm really grateful. And then to add to that, I was taught how to communicate and how to conjugate verbs and all of that as a little tiny kid. It was drilled in my head, literally. And so I'm very proud of that. It's really been a lifesaver. And from there, just creatively being encouraged. And whatever I wanted to do, learn how to, in the old days, we had to type. You couldn't just speak into, you know, the computer and have it dictate everything. You had to type the actual keys. And so I learned how to do all those things, and it has been a lifesaver. And because of the lessons that I got, I was able to share that with a worldwide audience over the years. So I'm going to just lift my my coffee cup. That's what I'm doing, folks. I'm lifting my coffee cup and toasting the wonderful foundation that I was able to receive. But what do you guys think? Do you think that we do or we don't encourage entrepreneurship enough?
I would probably say we don't. I would say we probably don't encourage it as much as we should. And that may be coming from a direction of, you know, maybe my grandmother didn't encourage my mom to do it. And usually I think if you don't have an entrepreneur or older entrepreneur in your family, you probably don't encourage other people to do it. And I think we kind of habitually aim small, saying you need to get a job, you know. So I think we kind of aim a little bit low. Maybe we need to aim higher, like, okay, I really need you to become a physician, you know. So and speaking for myself, like, college was not something that was really discussed in my household. So out of me and my two sisters, only one of us went off to college. And I still to this day, I say to her, what made you do that? Because it wasn't discussed like that in our household.
Well, Ms. Terry, may I ask you a question on that?
So are
you saying that at a certain point, when you guys kind of became young ladies or even when you were younger, what kind of direction did you receive? Did they say, well, you got to go to the – I mean, when I grew up, they were always saying you have to go get a job at the post office. you had to get a government job. So what do you say?
I'll say I don't think there was a whole bunch of direction. And then I was also raised in a single parent home with just my mom, and that was because my dad passed away when I was like 7.
Oh my.
So maybe my mom was more focused on just making sure we ate, you know, versus saying, okay, look, I need you to go off to college or however. But my mom was a RN. She was a registered nurse. But I just don't, for some reason, the conversation just didn't happen. And like I said, maybe she was more concentrating on how she's going to feed us, how she's going to keep a roof over our head, and things like that. So, like I said, when my youngest sister was the one who went off to college, and she went to HBCU, and like I said, still today, I'm like, what made you do that? But I'm glad she did.
Yes, absolutely. But now when you ask her what made her do that, what do you mean? Like, why would you go to college when you could just
not in a bad way, just because it wasn't discussed.
What
encouraged her, and come to find out, she was looking at one of my first cousins went to Florida Memorial College in Miami, and I think they've changed the name on it now, but she actually went to that exact college, so she was just watching my cousin, and she just hauled off and went to college, and I mean, I'm glad she made that decision. And, but I feel like it does definitely needs to be a discussion over breakfast. And, hey, every day if possible, just to encourage kids to, you know, go bigger.
So it was the see it to believe it kind of thing, and which is always our mantra here, that if you can see folks doing these things, just as they're looking at, you know, all my postings, and Will, I want to get you to jump in on this. But I just wanted to mention one quick thing. My cousin called me as well like 2 days ago, and, you know, this is my wonderful cousin who's about 10 years older than I am, and he's like, he's doing a beautiful sea moss business and needs my help. And I was so moved because not someone I particularly was all that close to, but I just adore and appreciate, as I always have. And he was like, well, he was saying that he looks up to all that I've done, and he watches all of my stuff, and he's the one word he said is that I was committed to what I'm doing. And so those words stayed with me quite a bit. But you talk about, you know, your sister seeing, I believe you said your cousin, her cousin, and doing these things, going off to school and so forth, and that was the impetus that kind of pushed your sister forward to do the same, and I think I love that. Well, what about you? When you hear all of this, what goes through your mind?
What I hear all of this, what's going through my mind is about, it's not, I don't necessarily do, because I like to do research as well. So one of the things I started leaning on was the National Black Chamber of Commerce. They've been doing a lot of work since 1993 to help build entrepreneurship in black-owned businesses to help empower the community. When I hear this stuff, I think that the question isn't, I don't think the issue is entrepreneurship. Do blacks have enough entrepreneurship? And it does come from an old school mindset of just getting a job, you know, putting your head down and pinning your ears down and getting to work. There is that mindset of, you know, just to get a job. But we did encourage entrepreneurship. What I think is the actual issue is that there isn't enough financial literacy available in the black community. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of black businesses were not successful, or a lot of people would not go into entrepreneurship, is because a lot of people weren't financially literate enough to understand what is a tax write-off. What taxes are you available for? What grants are you available? You know, do you qualify for? And then it's the other side that we also got to look at as well, is that we are still dealing with the big R word in this country, which is racism. There are a lot of laws, a lot of business practices that are still in place to this very day in the 21st century that stops a lot of black businesses from being able to prosper or grow or even start in general. And I'll use it by and I'll pin that with this example of just home ownership. How there were a couple of stories, and I forget the specifics of the names, that, you know, it's probably good for it, but there were already a couple of stories in the media last year where a couple of families, they wanted to get their houses appraised, and because they were black, their house appraisals were less than what they expected, even though they invested in the houses in bringing up the maintenance. However, they used different people who were not black, or in one case, a mixed couple, a black woman, a white guy. He put up all the pictures of him and took down the pictures of her, and the appraisals immediately skyrocketed. So as much as we promote entrepreneurship, we cannot ignore that there's a significant factor of racism that and racist practices, not just laws, but just practices and mindsets that actually holds back, but are an obstacle in black entrepreneurship. That is one of the biggest things I take from this.
Well, let me just jump in and say this, because it's very important what you said about racism being one of the barriers to entrepreneurship, so to speak, for African Americans. But I beg to differ. I think that it is, I think because of it, in spite of the racism that is throughout our entire society in America and every fiber of this country, I think that that's more of the reason that you need to be encouraged to be an entrepreneur. And that is what has fortified me in being an entrepreneur for my pretty much my adult life, literally. And certainly in the last, even though I've been in and doing the radio show for 25 years, I've been totally self-sufficient in terms of being an entrepreneur for the last 8 years. It's 8 years in May that I left what, you know, a traditional 9-to-5 job for a full-time entrepreneurship. Even though I didn't purposely leave a job to work for myself, it just kind of, I went with it. I kind of leaned into it, if you will. But I do want to say this. It is because of that. It is because of all the racial things that you kind of alluded to. I totally agree with you on one hand, because that's kind of what has pushed me to do things. A, because being a black male in today's society in America, it's challenging to just walk in and into companies, not to mention, I think I posted something on being older for folks who are in their 50s, trying to get a job is nearly impossible if you're black, what it seems in this country, or probably mm-hmm. even white for that much, you know, because of age discrimination. And when you add a layer of color to it and other factors that we are experiencing because of this, I call it this, you know, a racial society, it makes it very difficult to you know, be an entrepreneur. Those are bumps in the road for entrepreneurs. However, for me, and I can really tell all of our amazing fans this and tell you guys this, I am super happy that I'm an entrepreneur. Period. I wouldn't, you know, I have a lot of folks and colleagues and friends and, you know, and folks who are working 9-to-5, and that's all fine and dandy. I talk to them every day, and I say, you know, and I just, I salute them as they're going off to 2 and 3 and 4 jobs. I was able to put together, I knew that if I had pain early in my career, which I did, I had a lot of struggles and still, of course, continue to struggle as an entrepreneur. You're never on the easy street. But I remember having a lot of challenges, but I was very conscious. I said, wow, I know if I go through this here and at this time, it'll be hard and tough. I didn't know quite how hard it was going to be. I had no idea. But I knew that if I experienced that early on, that eventually it would get easier. I didn't say easy, but easier. And that's exactly what's happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so for me, being a person to take that walk and take that leap of faith, and again, I left 8 years ago from being an instructor and working in the stocks and all of that kind of stuff and stock, transferring stock and working in that kind of arena in the financial world to return to working for myself. And I would, as you guys know in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, I certainly would encourage you to do the same. I really do. I think that entrepreneurship needs to be touted a great deal more. And little children, because sometimes you don't want to, you know, not everybody wants to go to college. Not everybody wants to go to, you know, to work and to work for other folks. Some folks, some, you know, I think a lot of us would love to have the ability, if there was a roadmap on how you could launch a successful career for yourself. It's just not talked about enough. That is a viable option. And beyond being a viable option, to me, it's the most important option because it is the entrepreneurs, it is the small businesses in and around America that is the backbone of this country, because we are the ones who hire everybody. We're the ones who hire the people in your community. And America's just mm-hmm. backwards.
So that means everybody isn't built to be an entrepreneur, too.
Well, not everybody
that means
necessarily.
Everybody isn't built to be an entrepreneur, and with all these small businesses out there that we can work for, We could actually go in and look at that business and say, hey, listen, you know what? I may not be an entrepreneur. I may not have the business mind acumen to start my own business, but you know what? I know a good idea. This looks like a good idea. I like it. This person made it. You know what? I'll be more than happy to lend my labor to this business person's ideas and help them out. It doesn't have to be a big corporation.
That's a good
point,
but
it can be a small business.
Yes, but remember that even if you, you know, you may not think that you can be an entrepreneur, I'd like to say it better this way, that anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur can be an entrepreneur. Okay, so it's not so much that everybody's not cut out to be an entrepreneur, but everybody who wishes to be an entrepreneur.
No, no, I didn't say everybody's not cut out.
No.
I said some people don't want to be an entrepreneur. That's it.
Well, yeah, that's
what some people just don't want the headache of worrying about the bills. Okay, making sure the rent is paid. Okay, how is this staff going to go? Okay, I got to put this plan together. I got to think 6 months down the line in the future already, you know, while we're going through our 6 months of a soft opening right now. Some people aren't built for that. Some people don't want that. That's what I'm talking about. Not the people who do want to be an entrepreneur, but some people who don't want it. But they're more than willing to work for somebody who has a great idea, has a great service that they like, and say, yeah, I don't mind working for that because I like it and I'll help encourage and market it for it.
Well, I think we're arguing two sides of the same coin. Of course,
right,
that you're going
right.
to have
That's
folks
what I said.
Who,
I think it's more, my point has been more. My point is more on financial literacy, because according to National Black Chamber of Commerce, this is what I'm basing my logic on. My point of view on it's not necessarily. It doesn't look like it's an entrepreneurship issue. Like it's not discussed enough. And I lean more towards on Dame Dash's teachings. Like, that guy is such a great ambassador for people to be entrepreneurs. I highly encourage people to listen to him. But it's more on the financial literacy. I don't think a lot of people in the black community understand how to use our money. Because according to the National Black Chamber of Commerce, and this is probably common knowledge by everybody at this point, let me not assume it, but it's been floating in our community circles. We have, as a black community in America, $1 trillion spending power. $1 trillion spending power. So we have the economics. The economics are there. You know, we have the spending power. How we use it is where we seem to have an issue. Not that we don't have the ambition, but the know-how, like just like the blueprint to becoming an entrepreneur, we don't have the blueprint to focus our dollars in the right way, and that's where I think is the next issue to conquer, in my humble opinion.
Okay, well, thank you for your opinion, and I think I do want to just remind the listeners that we do have a roadmap. It's called How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, and where yes. And the hair business itself is a multi-billion-dollar community, as we know. And I just want to remind everybody, being an entrepreneur, you have an entrepreneur with you every day called Carrie Hines.
There you go.
Wow.
And I can tell you firsthand, probably better than most. And
yes,
a lot of it, a lot of it is financial. That is a huge part of it, absolutely. And I can tell you, as you will read in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, it speaks to all of that. Because, yes, financial literacy is important, but literacy is important to begin with. And then you, of course, being able to support your business in every which way. I mean, there is a roadmap to all of this. And again, you'll read about, I touch on all of that in How to Get Rich in my How to Get Rich book. And it's very important. But see, I do think that the first thing I will tell you this that I mentioned is that you have to have a plan. When I did work in the private sector out there for the financial folks, I had a plan. When I thought that I was getting burned out at the job, not so much burned out, but overworked. I guess that's, I don't know if it's the same thing, but truly overworked.
Overworked, burned out, it happens. It happens.
Yeah, but
you,
I don't like the word burned out because it was not so much that you're tired. It was just that it was, you know, you feel unappreciated kind of thing. And I said, you know what? They paid me well.
Yes.
Don't. It was never about money. But the thing was, it was just too much work for me personally. And so I started, and I'll share this, I started Hair Radio back while I was still working. I didn't have a clue in the world that I'd be leaving to work for Hair Radio. I think I must have started it back, I'll say probably in September, October, before I left the job. I had just started it back one day. I said, oh, let me come back and do more of my hair and beauty stuff. And I'd been away for about 8 years working with the financial company, and decided to come back. And little by little, and I started putting the site together and started talking to people again, reconnecting and getting familiar with social media. They didn't have social media the last time I had, you know, was running Hair Radio type stuff. And here's a new platform, social media. I think I had 30 people who were friends, basically family members at that point as friends. So that was the beginning. That was the absolute beginning of Hair Radio. And I mean, I shouldn't say of Hair Radio, but returning to the Hair Radio business. And then, like I said, I didn't exactly think about leaving the job to work for myself. That, you know, that would not be the truth if I were to present it that way. I didn't have some epiphany and say, oh, I can go and do my own thing and do real well. I'm going to quit the job tomorrow. That didn't happen. I literally started the business back, and then one day I did have a revelation. I said, oh, my God, there's so much work here. Folders stacked up high as your head. And I'm looking at folders right now on my desk, stacked up high as your head, but these are my folders now. Those were their folders when I was at the job. Big difference, guys. Big difference. And so,
yeah, you care about these folders.
Well, I mean, I cared about my work at that place too, but it's a little bit different when you are the sole benefactor of what you're doing. And so, and I remember telling the folks there, I said, well, you know, I'm going to try. I just thought I would roll into another job. I said, I'll leave, and just each day, and I remember when I left, I said, well, you know, I'm just going to go home and try to do, you know, my little stuff, and I don't know how long I'll last. I thought I'd just be back for a little while running the hair business and then return to another job. That's what I really thought. And one day turned into 2 days, and 2 days turned into a week, then in a few months. And I remember when I left the job and my friends were like, oh, what about collect unemployment, get welfare, all these different things people were telling me. And you know what I did? I can honestly say to this day, and I've never, ever had to collect unemployment. I do remember when I had attempted nor welfare, nor food stamps, none of those things. But I remember specifically when I had attempted to, after about 3 months of running Hair Radio back after I left the job, again, 8 years ago, I said, well, my friends all told me right away, oh, you got to call unemployment. You got to get unemployment. So I finally called up unemployment. This was right at the beginning, like, you know, 8 years ago. And I had been running Hair Radio for 3 months, I think, at that time, about 3 or 4 months. And I was doing just fine, thanks to Facebook. I was doing great with promotion and stuff. And I remember very well that after I tried to reach out to the unemployment people, but see, I did not know. Folks later said, well, Carrie, you know, if once you tell them that you're running a business and you've been doing okay, you know, and that's what I told the truth. I didn't know that people know how to tell all different kinds of stories and stuff. I did not know that. So when they ask, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm running my business. And essentially, I was on the phone. I didn't need it. So, you know, that what happened. And so I decided, but not only that, but I kept on, I talked with the people. They sent me, when I tell you, a mountain of papers. I had never seen so many papers in my life, forms about my business. To fill, because I had already told them about my business, entrepreneur stuff. And so here I'm trying to get so-called unemployment at the same time. So they were more interested in, so it seemed to me, in my business and how much and what I was doing and how much I was bringing in. So that when I tried, I said, oh, my God, it would take me a year to fill out all these papers about Hair Radio. So I said, you know what, I've been already making it for about 3 or 4 months, so this is going to make me work harder. And I just said, I'll take it day by day. I literally said, and this is true for you guys out there, I said, I will take it day by day, one day at a time. And one day turned into, like I said, a week and months and literally a year, then 2 years, 3 years, and so forth up to now. And what I've learned from all of this is that the longer that you stay in business, the better off you are. I've got folks who, you know, who make referrals to my business that I didn't anticipate that would happen. But that's been a wonderful thing, you know, all by itself. So.
And you know what, Carrie? People are afraid of the failure, you know? They're afraid of the failing part of that comes with the scary move of being an entrepreneur. And something that I've always said that is an encouraging thing, that if we are encouraging entrepreneurship, we have to rip the Band-Aid off immediately. You know, when it comes to people with their money, they're very secure, they're very tight. You know, they do not want, they want that security, and that's what money is. But, and in those scary times that entrepreneurs go through, like I'm sure yourself, a lot of people, they hear those situations, and they know, oh, that's why I can't do it. I can't go into business. You got to worry about da-da-da-da-da. I can't do it. And I think if they hear more of the challenging stories, the challenging times like what you went through, I think that would definitely help them out with the blueprint of how to go forward, because they don't hear that enough. They see the finished result. You see,
I totally agree.
You see Diddy at the entrepreneur. You know, you see him as the mogul, but they don't see Puff Daddy, the one that got fired from his old music label and said, "All right, we got to do this on our own. We're gonna call it Bad Boy." And he basically lived in the office that he rented at the time, with only a handful of artists who happen to be Mary J. Blige, Biggie Smalls, and I think Heavy D at the moment, I think it was. But he only had a handful of artists. He was out of an office, lived in the office.
Just, yeah, you know, listen,
he's not
listen,
sure if
brother Will.
And I think those stories,
Will,
those are the stories
Will,
that people need to hear. That's what I'm saying.
You are preaching to the choir.
No.
I mean,
no,
I don't know how to tell you.
You
got
to
understand,
no,
I run my own business
that.
Out of my own wonderful home studio office and have
right.
do all of
yeah,
my own productions as well. So I can honestly
and where can
tell
they
you.
The book? What's the book? What's the book?
My
that's
book
that,
is How to Get Rich in the Hair
Business.
Right, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. And,
there you go.
And essentially, and it's the exact same story. And that's exactly what you have to go through. So I'm here to tell you firsthand, and what you said is absolutely correct. There, you do need to be, you have to have some knowledge of different things, you know, like.
Absolutely. Absolutely
right,
Terry? Correct.
I put
yes,
up the posting.
Yes, because I'm sitting over here, I'm here laughing
mm-hmm.
because I've been in that position. So I have, as far as entrepreneurship, I've owned my own salon suite for, you know, for a couple of years. But, I mean, I'm guilty of being afraid of what if
mm-hmm.
I don't make it, or what if, you know, what
failing.
If I fail? Or yeah, I mean, it's scary out here.
And how was your honesty? How did you overcome that? Because you did open up your own place. You had a salon suite. So how did you overcome that?
Just like you say, getting help. I had help with it. And even still, my dream is to have a larger salon, but I would be lying to say that fear is not something that's keeping me from doing it.
Really? Listen,
yeah.
Okay. Here, Will, do you know any, are you in that same tranche where you're scared to take the leap? Because I talk about taking that leap in How to Get Rich book, too.
I don't think I'm afraid to do it. I'm clearly putting my voice and my face out there. So it's out there now. If you want to know who I am, it's just a matter of putting in the work now. Building up the shows and putting out content.
Miss Terry, Harlem Will really hit it on. He hit the nail on the head. And you're going to hear it from me, because if there's one thing I can tell you, it's about entrepreneurship. So where you're looking for all those folks, on television and out there in the media, you have the Entrepreneur of the Year right here every morning that you're talking to. And
okay.
I can tell you that one of those, well, it's the truth.
Are you volunteering to be my mentor?
Well, I mentor everybody every day. That's when you tune into the radio show. That's called mentoring every day. You guys are in a very special, you have access to somebody very special to you, I believe, because not everybody had this. I didn't have a person that I could just look to or was in on anybody's show or had a books and this and that I could just easily look at. I had to carve my own path. And that's okay. I'm not complaining about it. I love being in this position, but I'm here to tell you that, yes, you need to get your financial resources. You have to have, that's the first thing I say, a plan. You have to develop a plan. And what will mitigate that fear that you have is having that plan and then working that plan. And for me,
but
there's no other option.
I think for me it's more the business side of the business that I worry about, just the business aspect, I think that's what kind of frightens me.
Well,
not
listen,
actual...
you have to become unfrightened, because what you've got to do is figure out what is the trepidation from with regards to business. Do you want to strengthen your business knowledge? Are you looking to have more connections? And I can tell you, Will, you didn't hear this, but yesterday we talked about a new series that we're starting right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You may have seen my posting out on Facebook about this, but we are starting a wonderful series where we do nothing but bring in folks who will be literal teachers on the air live. They will be sharing and or talking about it's called the Carrie Hines Masters Series, and we really are bringing in the best of the best, including myself. I'll be sharing many of my expertise, because I can teach and have. I've been a professional teacher as well, but I would be I'm able to teach just to help entrepreneurs, obviously, in every single thing that's associated with entrepreneurship, but particularly broadcasting, writing, public relations, marketing, sales, anything that you can imagine, I've had to master right here. And it's evidenced in my things that I share with you guys on the radio show and throughout my social media. So take advantage of all of this. And I'm bringing in other folks who have done the same thing. Okay, so when I tell you guys things, I'm not speaking out of other parts of my body. I'm telling you firsthand what it takes. And as far as having the fear, listen, I'll tell you about that, because I don't have, I don't know, that fear did not last with me. I don't think I've really had the fear of failure so much. I more so if there was any fear. No. I never had that. Not for me. I didn't have that. But what I did was, because I had that plan, I created a plan for myself. And I'm more so fear the idea of having of having somebody else judge my future. That's what I fear most. I don't fear, I know what I'm going to do. I'm never going to fire myself. I'm never going to fire myself. So
right.
I, if anything, it's the opposite of the fear. Because once you start doing it, and I was in business for such a while, and I can have my own freedom. You know, talk about the money. There was this posting that I saw, and it really stayed with me. It was something to the degree of, you know, money is a tool, but it's not, you know, don't go in business because you're only just trying to make a pile of money. It says money is a tool, but the real goal is freedom. And that is what I live in every day. And if that, if
so
this,
you have
if
that
this
tool,
conversation,
mm-hmm.
this is what should you should what should be your takeaway. Money is the tool that we need to operate the business, of course, and to live and blah, da, 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 da. But that's not the end goal. And when I talk to other business folks out there and other colleagues and or even clients or customers, and the first thing they say, Carrie, I could tell. I'm very selective about folks that I do mentor and talk to because I don't want to hear someone who just thinks that they're going to be rich tomorrow. I'm not looking
right.
to help that kind of person because that already tells me that they don't have the right perception. They're not in the reality of being an entrepreneur.
They're not looking for freedom. They're not looking for freedom. They're looking for a big paycheck. And that's
and they're looking to
make
right. And it's not that you shouldn't have goals of creating wealth. That's fine and dandy, okay? But here's the catch, and that is that, again, use the money to help you to do the things that you need. But the end result is not, you didn't hear me say success. I didn't say a pot of gold. I said freedom. And what do I have every day, Mr. Harlem Will?
Freedom.
You
freedom.
Got it. So I
you
live
got your days.
When
you
I tell
your
folks,
days around you. Mm-hmm.
You got it. When I tell folks that I live in success every day, I mean it. So I'm not, success is not an end result for me. I live in success every day. And that is because
ooh,
I have
ooh,
my
wait,
freedom.
wait. Say that one more time. Carrie, say that one more time, please.
Well, it's the truth. I live in success every day. Success is not an end result. Okay? You're really fooling yourself if you think it's an end result. So I'm here to tell
result.
You.
Result. That's quote right there. That's
result.
A quote of the day right there, Carrie.
Every day that I wake up and I'm going to take some pictures again around of my office here. Every day I look around the office and I get to, you know, be in charge of what I'm doing. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not some easy walk in the park. And you, even though you don't have a boss per se, you still have commitments. And it takes a long time to build and believe in yourself, and to get, and the hardest part is probably getting others to believe in you. But if you are serious and you stick to it, I believe it can be quite rewarding. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to the Almighty above for allowing me to make it even this far. And I promise that I will help others along the way.
Carrie, I think that's a great that was a great segment by you, and I like that quote so much. I think we can make an exercise for that. I want to try to develop something around that success is not an end result quote, because I think people need to hear that even more as an encouragement. They see the Diddy, they see mm-hmm. Beyonce, they see the end result. Look at all the riches and the famous. They were successful already because they were doing what they loved. Beyonce was singing at the age of, what, 10? You know, something like that? Diddy was running a bit. He was managing
well,
music
Beyonce,
artists and
I think you guys,
in college.
Here's where, Well, here's where you have a direct reference. If you listen to my interview with Beyonce's dad, with Matthew, he talks about Beyonce being a little girl. And, I mean, he tells me firsthand, this is not, you know, you know, innuendo or something we saw in the newspaper. He literally told us right here on this very show that being that Beyonce grew up in a hair salon. That that he talked about his ex-wife Tina Knowles, Lawson at this point. He shared all of that. That tells you about the budding of entrepreneurship, and he has some books out there as well on this. And he's one of my favorite folks as well, because we speak the same language about entrepreneurship. And so, and I'm very serious about entrepreneurs and all of this. And if there's one thing that I truly am out and quite passionate about, is helping folks to really accomplish this, because it is not shared enough. And I don't think that we do enough to get it out there. But at least I hope that this has given some, you know, some support if this is what you would like to do. I think that at least find out more about entrepreneurship. There's a lot available online. I have a lot of stuff out there, the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business books, but also the Hair Radio Morning Show. We give you a free live course every day right here for 3 hours where you have we have live shows that you can come to and connect and do workshops. But there is no easy, let's just put it out of your mind, easy. There's no such thing as easy. If you're looking for easy, the easiest thing that you can do, if that's what you're looking for, is to just stay still. That's the easiest thing you can do. If you're looking to grow, to reach for higher ground, then it's going to be uncomfortable. Not scary, but uncomfortable. And then you slowly, again, the first thing that will kind of help to mitigate that is to create a plan and then work your plan. And that's exactly where we are at the Hair Radio Morning Show. How's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay, folks, let us take a little bit of a break. We'll get on some music. After the music, we've got a little bit further to go this morning. It's a truncated version again for the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll make up the time for you guys out there by the weekend. We'll run some specials and stuff over the weekend. So you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be back. Stay with us. We'll be back. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very next guest comes to us from Australia. Her name is Catherine Rondebel. We're going to have her tell you the rest. Good morning, Catherine. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, Carrie, and I hope everything is very well with yourself.
It is going great. Well, first of all, it's morning here in New York as we talk live on the air, but where you are is actually nighttime. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a bit of difference. So tell us the time difference so we can kind of get the understanding. Is it like the same day as America in the Northeast, or the next day or the next night? How does that work all the way in Australia?
Well, it is 12 hours after you, so it's 9:30 p.m. here.
Okay, got it. 12 hours after us. Wow. Okay, wow, very interesting. Okay, well, with that in mind, we're going to move on. We got so much to talk about. First of all, Catherine, technically I should welcome you back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You have been with us many times in the past, and one of the major reasons, I should say, is because of what you have done and who you are. As the creator of Headbed, you've done just an enormous contribution to the hair and beauty industry. So first of all, let's have you tell everybody officially what Headbed is.
Well, thank you, Gary. My clients who used to come to see me with neck pain, shoulder pain, headaches after having been to a hair salon, it got me thinking about the position of a person's head and neck when they are at the shampoo basin. And research from the medical literature shows, and I was not surprised to find, that there's medical evidence of neck injury and even, in the worst case scenario, strokes. Mm. So I designed a headbed to have a support placed under the head of the person, and therefore it takes all the weight off the head, and the neck therefore can relax. There's a lot less pressure on the neck and its delicate blood vessels and nerves when the head is properly supported at the basin. The neck can take up to 40 pounds of pressure on the vertebrae if the head is reclined backwards and not supported at the shampoo basin. So this is what really motivated me nearly 7 years ago now to design and research and make a headbed.
Well, I'm just blown away because, first of all, for our listeners out there, the folks who are in and around the hair and beauty industry, this may be the very first time they're really ever hearing of a syndrome such as this. Can you talk to us a little bit about this and how it's, this has kind of come to light? I mean, you really have been sharing this for quite a bit of time. So kind of bring everybody up to speed on what this beauty parlor syndrome, stroke syndrome, is all about.
Yes, well, it was actually published by a New York doctor, a neurologist, who started looking at a pattern of injury and strokes that happened particularly to women, middle-aged women in particular, as they'd come back from hair salons. So whether the same day or a few days later, they developed symptoms of slurred speech or pain down the arm or headaches, and then eventually ended up with strokes. And these would be ladies in their 40s and 50s. So he published an article in a very prestigious medical journal to say, look, there is a very definite problem there. So beauty parlor stroke syndrome, as it's called, or salon sink radiculopathy, which is a very fancy name to say that pain travels down the nerve branches of the neck from too much pressure on the neck. And that all happens because a human head weighs anything between 4 to 5 kilos, which is about 8 to 10 pounds.
Lying, I'm so glad you did that you gave us what did you call it, the exchange.
Yes, I think in the US you're more into pounds, isn't it?
Right, exactly. I'm like, please say pounds. Wow. Well, I tell you, this is just something that literally unnerves folks, because when they go to, especially our fans out there, they go to the hair salons, they're not expecting this. Should this be part of the consultation, in your opinion, of the professionals to share with their clients, their prospective clients, when they come in the door?
Oh, absolutely. Finding out if a person already has some pain or some injury or some musculoskeletal problems is very important when they are about to sit at the basin and place their head backwards. And you have two types of basins. In America, I've noticed that there is a fixed to the plumbing and the cabinetry type of basin, and there is the other one, which is called a backwash, which the basin tilts down to a person's shoulders. But in both cases, if the person's head is not supported, then all the pressure goes onto the neck vertebrae. So it's very important. And hairdressers are very caring people. They always try and make their client comfortable. And I know some hairdressers have injured their wrists because they're trying to support, to hold the weight of the head of the client whilst they're doing the shampoo with one hand. So definitely ask about it. Ask the client, have they already got any pre-existing issues with their neck? But often it's not known because it all happens on the inside, on the little blood vessels that travel through the neck vertebrae. And who, you wouldn't know as a hairdresser if somebody has a potential for strokes or, you know, has high blood pressure or could have some plaque build up in their blood vessels. So
and
it's very tricky. So the easy,
yes.
Yep.
And I was just going to say that exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They would take the proper precaution. And usually that's see a doctor, you know, after that point. But I'll tell
that's
you,
right.
Catherine, this is just amazing. Now, it's quite, you know, a lot going on these days, and I do want to turn to that. But I do want to mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about this amazing device. We're talking about HeadBet today. And my very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show, all the way from Australia, it's Miss Catherine Rondebel, who we just appreciate and adore here on our show. She's been a friend and family member here to the Hair Radio Show, folks, mm-hmm. for many years. Catherine, so I want to definitely talk about this. Now, you mentioned the basin, and we call them sinks here as well for you guys out there listening. Right. So
shampoo bowl.
The shampoo bowl. There you go. Exactly. And we're talking about, I want to paint a picture. So we're talking about that curvature where it kind of allows for the neck to fit in that little groove on those sinks that
groove.
You see at the salons
Correct.
And barbershops.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much. And so you have the device that kind of literally is so easy. And I do mean it's easy to just pretty much lay right on there, but it has
exactly.
a huge, right? It has a very, so this is not something that is difficult to affix to the sink. Can you just describe that process again?
Sure, you can retrofit the headbed to 99% of sinks. So we have a special model which is for the American style of shampoo bowl, the one that is fixed to the cabinetry or the plumbing in the wall. And then we have the one for the backwash, which is more of a ceramic bowl that tilts down to the client's shoulders. So you simply clip, it's a silicone, very soft, flexible cushion that molds itself into the curve of the neck area, but it has this little platform that goes out inside the basin and which sits just under the head, the occipital bone of the client's head as the head reclines backwards. So it's like putting your head on a little pillow. That's why we'll call it the head bed.
And I love it.
Therefore, it would, that's right. So it can fit on any basin. And the European model has three adapter wedges, which then allows the head platform to be raised or lowered depending on the angle of the client's neck and head. So it's really been thought about by on many ways to cover all potential and possibilities of different styles of basins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, we just love it. It's the head bed. So I am just blown away. What is the best website, or how can folks get this amazing head bed device?
Yes, well, we're very lucky to have a lovely agent, Lynn, in Florida.
Yes,
and our
awesome.
Website there is... Mm-hmm. And our website is headbedusa.com. So www.headbedusa.com.
Awesome.
And also, Kerry,
course,
you probably
yes.
would have it on your...
You beat me to it, Catherine Rondebel. Yes, we're going to be so excited to offer this, as we have throughout the years, right here at Hair Radio. You can simply go to the Salon TV Network app into our store on the app. Now, you can download the app for free. It's in the Google Play Store worldwide. And purchase that wonderful headbed device there, or just contact Hair Radio at any time, and we'll be certainly able to put you in touch with Lynn and some of the folks at Headbed and all that wonderful good stuff. So really, really make it really nice. And it's not something, I do want to talk about this, just, you know, of course you have to contact them for pricing and all that, but the one thing I do want to say is that it is incredibly affordable for what you are, what this the prevention, when you look at it, first of all, it's affordable, period. Let me just get that on out. And then I also want to say what it can prevent is priceless. So there is just, there's, I mean, I really don't know any other words to put that, again, any other way to say it.
We call it priceless because, you know,
exactly.
you're protecting your health and...
Yes.
There is nothing more important in life than your health and your client's health. And it's a safety device. And for a professional tool of the trade, it comes down to about $19 per year, because we know the headbed will last you more than 5 years. Our salons in Australia, the first one, bought the headbed 6.5 years ago, and they're still using it.
Oh,
so,
that is just amazing. Now, Catherine, actually, you lead me exactly where I wanted to go with you at this moment. And that is to talk about some of the things that are going on. But first, just kind of paint the picture again. I want to welcome Catherine Rondebel to welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. She is on the line with us all the way from Australia. Now, Catherine, what part of Australia are you in again?
Right, on the west coast of Australia. And we are known as the most isolated city in the world. Gary, Perth.
Why?
It's got the ocean, Indian Ocean on one side, and it's got the Great Australian Desert on the other side before you reach the east coast of Australia.
Wow. Well, my goodness. And you've been here to America. I've seen you here in the New Jersey, New York area before, so I know you come to America. You travel everywhere, though. You really do, Catherine.
Well,
remember you.
Well, with the invention of the headbed being such a unique and new tool of your trade, I had the great opportunity to travel to the main hair expos around the world, the Paris one, the London hair expo, to New York at the wonderful Javits Center.
Yes.
So
yes.
IBS was just magnificent, and meeting you there was really
absolutely
wonderful.
Yes, we had
and
a great
having
time.
The being able to present this new and unique safety device for the shampoo bowl to all the hairdressers that are top of their trade and see how fascinated they were and you know, really wanting to get one for their salons and their clients, it was just wonderful. I'm so blessed to have had so many beautiful meetings, including yourself.
Thank you, and likewise, absolutely. Now, how does it play with all of this going on? We haven't broached the subject. It's always the elephant in the room, and that is this COVID situation currently that's happening around the world. How has, well, let me ask you, have the folks been affected in Australia, and how so?
Well, during sort of March, April, May, when it was really the start of sort of worldwide awareness, we went into lockdown here too, so many salons had to close, and that was very scary for a lot of small businesses and salon owners. But by June, we were able to reopen because the number of COVID cases was under control in Australia. So this is when the sale of our headbed just absolutely tripled and quadrupled, because people have realized that being made from a medical-grade silicone, it can be 100% hygienic and sanitized properly in between clients. So more than ever now, do not use substandard silicone neck cushions, because, and certainly not the firm, spongy little ones, that because they have minute fissures and cracks which can trap germs, and it's just not really it's not possible to clean them properly. They collect skin debris and germs. So really, only trust the highest grade silicone rubber material.
Absolutely.
On any of your equipment and tools. And this is why our headbed was adopted even more so ever since the COVID situation started.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
Very important.
It's troubling times, but humans are resilient. We're all resilient, and we'll manage to find a way through this.
Exactly. I still say this, Catherine. Yeah. I know you guys, you support the salon and barbers and all those folks, and I appreciate that. But I have always felt and thought that each individual, to me, I would suggest if you can get your own, get your own. Get your own. I think it would be wonderful. I really do. I've always encouraged that. I know it's a, you know, it goes on a sink and it's a professional product. But I'm thinking that if you have your own headbed, you can take it with
your
to the salon.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what quite a few of our clients have done here, too. Because they traveled, they used to, not this year, but traveling around the world, they keep their headbed with them. And they,
exactly.
Whichever salon they go to, they say, just clip that on the basin,
exactly.
on the salon sink, please.
Exactly.
And then they're comfortable and they know they're safe. And often the salon owners want to buy the headbed off them and keep it.
Quite often. The great news is that they can be directed right back to headbedusa.com.
Yeah.
Which we love that, or Salon TV Network, of course. Well, I have to say, Catherine, first of all, it's great to speak with you and connect with you. Now, what about some of these big things happening all over the world? Do you guys see a lot of that on the news over there? Do you see, like, the Black Lives Matter and all these things? Do you see any of that reported? We don't know so much about what's happening outside of America much.
Oh, look, Australians are absolutely fascinated by what happens in America, and the Black Lives Matter movement was very much echoed here, and we had our own issues here. The Australian Aboriginal people have also done marches and demonstrations and wanting to make sure that it was well known to the government and to all that, you know, every life matters, but particularly Black Lives Matter have had so much more challenges throughout history and even recently. Now, in Australia, we can see that on the news every day that it's being reported. So we feel for your country and for all the issues going on, and you're not alone. We really feel with you and are in thoughts and prayers with you guys.
Thank you. And I have to say, you have always put it there. You've been a big supporter of Hair Radio and believed in us when a lot of these things, we hadn't quite materialized them or brought them into being.
Correct.
And you really believed and supported us, and I thank you for that. And we will continue this.
Yep. I mean, it's such a beautiful, important social interaction when somebody goes to their stylist, their hairdressers, and the self-esteem and the well-being that is felt when a person can get their hair cut and presents beautifully, it's wonderful for their self-esteem. It's a beautiful industry that you guys are in, and you know it's so important to support people who have such a skill with the correct tools, and that's where my background is from. I'm from a health background myself, so that's why so important to me.
Absolutely. Well, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. My very special guest comes back to us all the way from Australia. We're talking about Miss Catherine Rondebel. We're talking to Miss Catherine Rondebel, who is the creator, we call the inventor of headbed and this amazing device that certainly can just do such big things to avoid clients in the, shampoo bowl getting strokes or having strokes and all of that. It certainly is just big. And you can find out a lot more about it. She has all the official information that you need to know at www.headbedusa.com. And also you can, of course, connect with us at Hair Radio. We'll put you in touch with the amazing Catherine Rondebelle and all that she's doing. Catherine, I just want any lasting thoughts or anything you want to kind of leave with the Hair Radio Morning Show folks today?
Well, first of all, congratulations on such a wonderful profession you're in.
Yes.
And my dream is really that for every shampoo sink around the world to have a headbed cushion on it, because it's like every car has seat belts in it. It's a safety issue. You have to protect your clients and therefore look for a proper head and neck support cushion for your shampoo sink. Indeed.
Well,
thank you again, Kerry.
Absolutely. Oh, it's my
marvelous
pleasure.
To see you again.
You are just awesome. You are part of the family here, as I mentioned earlier, and you're always welcome. Again, headbedusa.com is the website. The device is Headbed, and every salon and barber shop should have this device on their sink or wash basin bowl. Make sure and do that. It's critical. It's critical for the success of what you're doing and your clients and all of that. And certainly, this is something that we encourage. Again, Catherine, I want to thank you so much for being with us and stay in touch with us, okay?
Will do.
We're back live. You're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It has been an extraordinary day here on this Wednesday morning, March 24th of 2020. Join us back here tomorrow, that's Thursday, for an all-new edition. We will start the show at 6 in the morning, go to 9 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to say thank you to Harlem Willpower out in Harlem, New York, in Manhattan, and Miss Terry from down in Georgia. And again, I'm Kerry Hines in Brooklyn, New York, and it's been my honor to have you guys with us. Now, the playback starts shortly, and again, if you missed any part of the show, it's very easy to play it back, and we put out a recorded version a little bit later on social media. And so, Ms. Terry, thanks for being with us today. It was a great day to have you on board.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
And, so we'll see you guys back here tomorrow. We'll go ahead and get the outro started. All right. Make it a great day.
It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com. and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey, on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days. Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 862-277-0686. And again, that number is 862-277-0686. Now, if you're interested in being a guest or advertising on the Hair Radio Morning Show, give us a call. And for those of you who are just starting your career as an entrepreneur, you want to pick up your very own copy of How to Get Rich in the Hair Business It's by me, Carrie Hines, and is on sale at Amazon.com. Start your new career as a Carrie B. Hair Products distributor, where you'll make money and meet interesting folks selling our hair care system. Carrie B. Shampoo, Carrie B. Conditioner for the fellas is Carrie B. Beard Oil. It's my very own hair growth system that's infused with caffeine to stimulate the scalp. And don't forget to tune in to our very next live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our program airs each weekday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 5 to 8 Central. And if you miss that live broadcast, we've got you covered. Go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio. And again, Hair Radio is always spelled just one R in the middle. So again, go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio anytime to stream the episode on demand. The Hair Radio Morning Show is the longest running radio broadcast on hair and beauty in the world. 25 years and counting. Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page at The Hair Radio Morning Show or